And in just a few short days, four of them, I guess, if you count today as the 10th, and 1, 2, 3, 4, it'll be Valentine's Day, a day of love and romance for many. And did you know that Valentine's Day is the most popular day for weddings? Don't know any coming up myself personally, but it is the most popular day for weddings. And that reminds me of a story. Do tell, right? It was about a couple who had a big wedding. And not only was the wedding big, but the reception was big. And then came the honeymoon. And it, you know, they did as most couples do. They went to their hotel room, and after they unpacked their bags, the groom took his bride by the hand, and he sat her on the edge of the bed and said lovingly, "Honey, I hope you don't mind, but now that we're married, I thought I'd mention a few defects that I've noticed about you." "Not at all," the bride replied with a deceptive sweetness. "It was those little defects that kept me from getting a better husband." Rough start to the marriage. Guys, though, think about this. If you don't know it by now, that's not a good thing to do, okay? It's a universal truth that men who are wise do not tell their wives what's wrong with them, okay? It's just not healthy, all right? But seriously, it's really not healthy. It really isn't, actually. And not only is it not healthy, but it also shows a lack of understanding and a lack of sensitivity. And ultimately, a husband who truly loves his wife doesn't make fun of her. He doesn't point out her weaknesses or drawbacks. And of course, wives who love their husbands don't do that either. That's really what's behind a lot of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You all know 1 Corinthians 13 very well, I believe, but let's go ahead and read verses 4 down through 8, where the Bible says that love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, it always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. And that's what true love is all about. That's what the Bible tells us. But God doesn't just talk about love, does he? God gives us an example of what true love is all about. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 5, and let's take a little look at Ephesians 5, 25 through 27. This is Ephesians 5, 25 through 27, where the Bible says this about husbands and wives in Christ. "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Jesus and his bride." You see, Jesus is the ultimate example of that kind of love, because Jesus is the ultimate example of how a husband ought to love his wife. Jesus is the perfect husband. He's the husband of a wondrous bride, too, a bride called the church. And Jesus loves his church with a perfect love. And for us guys, that's a high standard to attain. Because Jesus sets an example of how love should be done. Husbands should love, honor, respect, and be kind to our wives. And when it comes to Jesus' bride, Jesus has shown us how to treat his bride. Think about that. His bride, of course, being the church. And by his example, Jesus showed us that the most important thing on his mind was his bride and how his bride would be taken care of while he was away. Turn over to the Gospel of John. This is actually going to be our main text for the day, and this is a familiar passage, but as I like to sometimes do, I'm going to tilt my head and take a slightly different slant on this passage. Let's take a look at John chapter 21. And we're going to read verses 15 down through 17. John 21, 15 through 17. Bible says, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him a third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. So here we have Jesus appearing to his disciples for a third time since his resurrection. John 21, 14 says that, if you've got your Bible open to John 21 still. And Jesus has a little private time now with just Peter. And he is sharing with him one of the most important thoughts he has with Peter. And if we were to summarize it, Jesus simply tells Peter, if you love me, then take care of my bride. You see, Jesus is instructing Peter to make sure that his church is fed, that his church is protected, that his church is nurtured. And that was Jesus' highest priority then, and it's still Jesus' highest priority now. You see, when Jesus set up the church, he wanted to make sure that it was overseen by the most experienced individuals that could be found. Over in 1 Timothy, Paul writes in chapter 3, verses 2 through 5, now the overseer, or the elder, must be above reproach, the husband of but one wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him with proper respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? You see, what Jesus is saying is that he wants only the most experienced people to watch over his bride. He only wants men who have proven themselves as good husbands, as good fathers, to make sure that his bride is taken care of. And from what we've seen back over in our main text from John 21, from Jesus' conversation with Peter, if we love Jesus, then we too need to take care of his bride, the church. Now think about that. If the church is the most important thing on his mind, it should be the most important thing on our minds too. Now, I want to be clear because I don't want us to think that we're talking about the church building or the church budget or the church's organization and stuff. You know, because God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. John 3:16, right? See, Jesus died for you and me. Jesus loves souls. Jesus loves people. Not places or things. You see, Christ's most valued possession is the body of believers that make up the local congregation, well, like this one, right? And that means if we love Jesus, then we should do everything that we can to make sure that the bride of Christ is strengthened and nurtured and built up, you see? So how can we do that? Well, if we draw some obvious parallels with how a husband is to maintain a healthy relationship with his bride, there are at least four things that we can do for the bride of Christ, God's Valentine, to help this along. And the first is that we need to make sure that we spend time with her. We need to make sure that we spend time with her. For example, I once heard about a wife who had a terribly rough day with her three small children. Could you imagine that? And all day long, they had just been terrible, throwing things around, being unruly, you can imagine, you know. To make matters worse, her husband didn't come home right after work like usual. He didn't call, didn't say anything. He apparently had other things he wanted to do, and he never bothered to let her know. So when he eventually got home about an hour late at 6:30 that evening, before he could even sit down, she just lit in on to him about how the children were all bad for all day and how he should have been there to help and blah, 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 blah. And he came back with, well, she was here and it was her fault that they acted like that. And it went on and on and on. And as we can imagine, it just kind of went downhill from there, you know, and their argument grew in intensity and loudness. The neighbors were wondering what's going on, you know. For 2 hours, this happened. Finally, after 2 hours of fussing and fighting, the husband said, I tell you what, let's start the whole evening over again. I'll go back outside, I'll come back in, and we'll start over. Well, she thought that was a good idea. So he went outside on the porch, turned around, came back in the door, opened up, and called out, Hi, honey, I'm home. To which she replied, Well, it's about time, it's 8:30, where have you been for the last 3 hours? And goes on and on and on. So what caused that man's problem? Well, a lot of things. Part of his problem was caused by the fact that when his bride needed him, he wasn't there. Okay. His absence from the home weakened their relationship with her and made her behave less like the bride that he desired. And that's also true for us. You see, when we put other things above being with Christ's bride, the church, then we weaken our relationships, and we in turn weaken the church itself. Now, I realize that I'm preaching to the proverbial choir here, right? Because after all, you're here, all right? But it helps us to realize how valuable our presence is here to each other. Our presence with the rest of the church helps to create enthusiasm and encouragement for the rest of the church. Hebrews 10:25 comes to mind, where the Bible says, that we're not to give up meeting together, right? As some are in the habit of doing. But let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. You see, this is an important issue for Jesus. In fact, Jesus said that when we honor him by being with his bride, that he'll be there with us, like Matthew 18:20 says, where Jesus said, for where there are two or three that have come together in my name, there I am with them in their midst. So you see, that's important for us to be together. So the first thing that we can do for the bride of Christ, God's Valentine, is to spend time with her. To spend time with her. And the second thing that we can do is to take care of Christ's bride by saying words of love and comfort to her. We need to take care of Christ's bride by saying words of love and comfort to her. For example, there was once this small little boy, and he and his sister were reading some old love letters from their mom and dad up in the attic, you know, found them in a trunk or whatever. And the boy turned to his sister, you know, looking at all these gushy words like lovey-dovey and cuddles and stuff like that. And he says to her, well, these aren't the names they call each other now. Well, maybe there's a problem there, right? You see? Like we said earlier, a wise husband or a wise wife does not insult or belittle their spouse. And so in the same way, Ephesians 4:29 says that we as Christians should not let any unwholesome talk come out of our mouths, but only what's helpful for building up others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Now the sad thing is that we probably all know some brothers and sisters in Christ who have said nothing but bad stuff about God's Valentine, his bride, the church. That's not to say that there may have to be things said from time to time that she doesn't want to hear now and again, but to say hateful things to the bride of Christ is, well, sinful, really, when you think about it. What we're talking about is church members, of course, who've damaged their congregations by doing nothing but grumble, gossip, and maybe just share their frustrations with just their small little group of friends, creating little pockets of division, not intentionally, but accidentally, rather than speaking with the elders about certain things. You see, those kinds of Christians have forgotten whose church it was. You see, they thought the church belonged to them. You know, it's my church, but really it doesn't belong to us as individuals. You know, the church belongs to Jesus Christ. That's why, you know, we are the Church of Christ. It's the church that belongs to Jesus Christ, the assembly of people that belong to Jesus together, you see. And so these folks end up abusing the bride of Christ, God's Valentine, by their words and by their attitudes. They proverbially threw mud, if you will, and filth all over the wedding garments of the bride of Christ. Now, let's be honest, if someone were to come to a wedding and began cursing out the bride and throwing mud and whatnot at the bride, wouldn't that get you just a little upset? It would be, you know. You know it would. And so it must upset the bridegroom of the church, Jesus. It's simply not healthy for our relationships with each other or our relationship with the Lord. It ought to never happen in a body of believers who say they love Jesus. Again, we need to take care of Christ's bride by saying words of love and comfort to her. And the third thing that we can do to take care of Christ's bride is to invest ourselves in her. We need to invest ourselves in the bride of Christ. You know, one of the valuable things about Valentine's Day is that it reminds people of the importance of focusing on and investing in the ones that we love. Think about it. Relationships fade and they falter when the people involved don't do that, when they don't take the time to invest in each other. I tell you what, you go to any place that sells Valentine cards today, Walmart, CVS, anywhere, okay? Chances are the racks are full of cards, all right? But you stop back to that same store this Wednesday evening, and there'll be no room to squeeze in to look at anything. There'll be cards on the floor, cards everywhere, and men going like this, trying to find a card for their significant other tomorrow, you know, the Valentine's Day, you see. And I know that because I happen to be one of those guys, okay? But anyway, see, but here's a clue, okay? Here's a clue, guys. If you want to help your relationship along, then simply ask her what she would like for Valentine's Day, okay? Ask. It seems so obvious, but husbands tend to overlook such simple ideas like actually asking what our wives would like for Valentine's Day. Now, in the same way, many people come to the Lord's church and they do just sit. They just sit there. They don't become involved in any kind of ministry because they say nobody asked them, you know. And sadly, it may take too long, might be a long while actually, before someone does ask them. So what's the point? Well, simply don't wait to be asked, you know. If you and I love the bride of Christ, then we need to take the responsibility upon ourselves to find some way to invest in her. You know, we shouldn't just sit back and expect that someone will notice that we've got nothing to do. Think about over in John 21 again. Three times in John 21, 15, 16, and 17, Jesus asks Peter, "Do you love me?" And each time Jesus drives home how important it was for those who love him to feed and to nurture and to care for his church. And whether that's getting involved in Bible class or Treasure Seekers or Moms or Us, the print ministry, helping with weddings or funerals. Thanks, by the way, to everyone who helped out yesterday that might not have got thanked. You know who you are. You did a blessed thing yesterday, and we were all blessed by it. Thank you. You know, or whatever ministry that we're involved in. Yeah, it's a ministry when you think about it. It is. You know, or maybe you'd like to start something that we're not necessarily doing that you think we should do. Ask the elders, okay? It's the elders who direct the affairs of the Lord's church. So ask. Or maybe investing that way isn't quite possible for you. Still, maybe there are other ways you can invest in the bride of Christ through giving or praying or encouraging. Encouraging is such a big thing that we all need to do for each other. There are so many ways to invest ourselves in his church, in his body, in his bride, in God's Valentine. Again, the third thing that we can do to take care of Christ's bride is to invest ourselves in her. And the fourth thing that we can do to take care of Christ's bride is to work at making sure her family grows. When we love the bride of Christ, we work at making sure her family grows. Now let's think back to our main text again in John 21. Did everyone happen to notice that when Jesus spoke to Peter that day that Jesus asked him to feed and take care of something? Something that maybe Brian mentioned. Sheep. Yeah. No, you gotta like that. Sheep. Now I know we've talked about sheep some before, and Brian talked about some sheep today, and we didn't talk about this at all, so I thought it was interesting that he... Anyway. But besides wool, and eventually meat, just what do sheep produce? Other sheep, right? Okay, that's how they build up the flock, all right? They produce other sheep. And that's how we build up the family of Christ, too. That's how we increase his church. Now, back after World War II, with the baby boom, the church quite literally grew by sheep producing other sheep, all right? And while that is one way to build up the flock, you know, that might not be an option for some people nowadays. The other primary way is for the sheep to lead others into the fold. We need to talk to people, right, or about Jesus and his bride, the church. Matthew 28, 18 through 20 comes to mind where Jesus says, and I know you could quote this with me, but I'm going to read it anyway for us, that all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, Jesus says. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely, I'm with you always to the very end of the age. And we do know this passage very, 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 very well at the Orangevale congregation. We excel in sending print materials all over the world to share the gospel. But we could do a little bit better with our neighbors next door. And I admit that I could do better. We all could do better, you know. And sometimes it might feel a little hard. But just last week, we started talking about the stewardship of the gospel. And over the next couple of weeks, we'll continue to talk a little bit more about sharing the gospel, all right? In order to help us to better be able to share God's love with those around us. Because if we really love the Lord, then we love the bride of Christ. And so that means that we'll work at making sure that her family grows. God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus. Jesus died for you and me. Jesus died for us so that when we are baptized into Christ, we are added to his body, to his bride, to his church, Acts 2:41. And the bride of Christ, like any other bride, can't simply be ignored. Because if we do that, well, what happens? Our relationships begin to crumble, right? Our relationships with each other start to fall apart, and it also happens with God. Our relationship with the Lord starts to fall apart too. So we need to make sure that we spend time with her. We need to take care of Christ's bride by saying words of love and encouragement to her. We need to invest ourselves in the bride of Christ. And because we love the bride of Christ, God's Valentine, we need to work at making sure her family grows. Valentine's Day, interesting day, all about sharing love. It's all about modeling the love of Christ for our spouse, for our loved ones, for the world around us, because there are too many people in this world who don't know what love looks like. For example, it's my understanding that Helen Keller, who completely lost her sight and hearing at just 19 months old because of an infection, tells how she learned the meaning of love from Ann Sullivan, her teacher, who was half blind herself. Helen told about the first meeting that she had just 3 months after she was 7 years old. She says, "The morning after my teacher came, she led me into her room and gave me a doll. When I had played with it a little while, Miss Sullivan slowly spelled into my hand, doll, D-O-L-L. I was excited when I finally spelled the word myself, and I ran downstairs to show my mother. Several days later, Helen told of how Miss Sullivan pumped cold water onto her hand and spelled out the word W-A-T-E-R, water, in her hand. And then later on, after learning hundreds of words, one day Miss Sullivan spelled out L-O-V-E in Helen's hand. Perplexed, Helen spelled back W-H-A-T-I-S-L-O-V-E. What is love? The other things are pretty easy, huh? You can pour water. Well, that's water. Doll. Well, that's a doll. Love. What is love? Well, that's a challenge, isn't it? But that's our objective as members of Christ's bride, to trace into the hands of the people around us the love of our Savior Jesus, to show others L-O-V-E, to love God to and through his bride, the church. Well, today, as always, if there's someone here who has just now seen God's love, then won't you accept the bridegroom's invitation to become a part of his church, his body, and be God's Valentine? We accept the Lord's invitation by our decision to become a Christian through our faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And then upon our confession of that, we choose to repent of our wrongdoings. We change our ways to be more in line with God's ways. And then we are baptized into Christ, Acts 2:38, reenacting the death, burial, and resurrection of our Savior. So if there's anyone here who sees the love of the Lord and desires to love him back by first becoming a Christian, well, we pray that you choose to do that today. Or maybe there's someone else here who might have a prayer concern that wasn't mentioned earlier and you'd like to ask for prayer, or maybe there's some other need that we might be able to help out with. If you choose to come forward and share your needs, you're always welcome to do that. Or if you prefer, you can visit with one of our elders at your convenience for encouragement. Whatever the case may be, if you need to, please come forward as together we all stand and sing the song that Isaac has selected.